When we hear the reading this morning from the Old Testament, from the book of 2 Kings, we must remember that the story of this woman, so hospitable, eventually does receive a son, just as Elisha, however you choose, has prophesied. Later in the story, the boy dies of some kind of disease. We don't know what it was. And then he is restored to life by the prophet Elisha again. So the story has a good ending. Although most of us know what it is like to suffer through the death of someone we love, not many of us know what it is like to suffer the death of an only child for whom we have waited and prayed for so long. What anguish this woman must have gone through. The focus of the story is always on the power of the prophet Elisha. But this woman is an incredible model of total trust in God. Her heart and her spirit are tried over and over again. And she always trusts in God and in God working through his prophet Elisha. It seems like, at least to me, that the point of today's readings is hospitality. How do we receive others? How do we accept others? How do we treat others? The gospel this morning speaks about receiving a prophet, about receiving a righteous person, indeed, about receiving any of Jesus' disciples. Our memories should bring to mind the passage later in the same gospel, Matthew 25, the 32nd verse and following, which tells the parable of the final judgment and the separation of the goats from the sheep. There, the parable is clear. Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me." You know, this is not about just a disciple, but it's really about our actions towards all people, everyone else. You know, it's natural for us to love our families and our friends, even when we fight with them. They are still our families. They are still our friends. Okay, perhaps sometimes we do lose a friend, or maybe a friend rejects us. Or for those of you who are Facebook savvy, you got defriended. It happens. But generally our friendships tend to go along in a reasonably stable manner. But what about loving the unlovable person in our own society today? As Catholic Christians, of course, we have a really strong example in learning how to love our priests who behaved in a horrible and horrendous manner. And their behavior, and I have to tell you this in true truth, Their behavior reflected on every man who puts on a collar. Really does. And I have had people in the hospital look at me and just kind of wonder, are you one of them? No one really wants to talk about that, but we are supposed to be Christians and to be loving and forgiving. And perhaps even stronger for some is learning to love the bishops who did nothing about disciplining such priests. At the level of society, there is the challenge to love all who behave horribly towards children. Indeed, all people who abuse others in any way. I have a friend with a young child. He has told me on multiple occasions he would not bring his child to a Catholic church. That hurts. That hurts down deep. And yet I ask him, well, then are you going to let your child go to public school? He never answers me. These examples can show us right away that most of our love we keep for people who are not going to bother our consciences in any real way. Within the church, we still are trying to figure out how to love and to treat appropriately and correctly and lovingly all the divorced and married Catholics. Now, I'm not talking about we and they. We're talking about us and our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, people that we go to school with, people that we work with, our neighbors in the community. Well, yeah. These people are right before our eyes. That is usually a more public situation. And now, lots of us have divorced and remarried people in our own families who have chosen to not get right, I'm sorry to use those words, but to not get right with the church under the current rules. And if you could see my scratched up homily notes today, current rules is highlighted and underlined. And what about those who are incarcerated because they are serial killers or have committed other heinous crimes? You see, a moment ago I was talking about a person who just got divorced and remarried without the church's official okie-dokie. Such a little deal. And now I've jumped to murderers. A big deal. And yet, I would guess, as long as Deacon Angelich has been a deacon, he has worked with people who are incarcerated and people who want to go visit those who are incarcerated and the great big pool of people who have no desire whatsoever to that ministry. it's hard to find folks who will go into a prison and hear those metal doors clang behind them to visit with folks who are on the inside. Now we have to remember that that teaches us that loving someone is not the same as allowing them to do whatever they want. And we need, as a church, to be very clear about that. The difference between loving all in the name of Jesus Christ and holding those we love to a certain level of accountability in the life of the church. I would guess that in secret, we're still a rather bloodthirsty people who are quite happy to punish others without any real thought of rehabilitation. Our world in general is not very good on the issue of rehabilitation. We would rather execute people or simply lock them up. That is something that should challenge us as Catholic Christians today. But in general, at least in the state of Texas, it is the accepted norm. And whether we're talking about a little deal or a great big deal, God wants all, every human being, to be reconciled to Him. That's a good theological point. If Angelich was up here, he would say, "Can I get an amen?"
Amen.
Okay. But He wants us to be instruments of that reconciliation. Ooh, that becomes the hard part. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta cared for the dying in our own time. Oh Lord, we should pray for God to raise up those who will show us how to love the many types of unlovable people in our own day. It is the same challenge as if we were to find that one of our sons or our daughters or our sisters or our brothers or our nieces or our nephews was an embezzler from his or her boss, or a murderer, or a blackmailer, or yes, indeed, even a serial killer. Every person in the world needs to become our daughter, our son, our brother, our sister, our niece, our nephew. Yes, even our mother or our father. When we begin to see the human family as our family, and when we begin to live that way, our lives will change drastically. And we will know profoundly the presence of the living God. Amen.